When Larry Brown sat down to write his first novel in 1980, he was a fireman in Mississippi with a high school education. For 5 years, he wrote late into the night while continuing to work as a fireman and holding down a second job to support a wife and 2 children. During this period, Brown completed 5 novels, which brought him only rejection slips. Then he started to write Dirty Work, which would become his first published novel in 1989. In a New York Times book review, Dirty Work was described as an unforgettable, unshakable novel. In it, griefs and joys are met not at a delicate, self-consciously artistic angle, but head-on, with a force that is both subtle and powerful, and above all, compassionate. In January of this year, Brown decided to quit his job to devote himself full-time to his writing. He's just come out with his 3rd book, a collection of short stories called Big Bad Love. This is an excerpt of his story, Falling Out of Love. As the story opens, the narrator and his girlfriend are walking down a road looking for help. Their car has 2 flat tires, and they're kind of lost and kind of angry at each other.
Sheena, baby, didn't hurt for me like I did for her. I knew it. I thought about shooting her first and me second, but that wouldn't have done either one of us any good. It wouldn't be nothing but a short article in the paper that strangers could read and shake their heads over, then turn to the sports. Love goes wrong. It happens every day. You don't need to kill yourself for love if you can help it, but sometimes it's hard not to. If we'd had inflated tires, I could have got her off over in the woods somewhere, put some Thin Lizzy on, told her how we could work it out, told her not only to be my baby, but to be my only baby. Later, in the dark, we could have moved together. But she didn't love me, and I could see that finally, so I decided to be real nasty to her. I said, "You just don't want to listen to anybody." She said, "I about had it for your damn mouth." "Jamming," I said. "Kiss my ass," she said. "Make it bare," I said, hoping she would, but she didn't, and we walked off in different directions. I didn't know why something that started off feeling so good had to wind up feeling so bad. Love was a big word, and it covered a lot of territory. You could spend your whole life chasing after it and wind up with nothing. Be an old bitter guy with long nose and ear hair and no teeth, hanging out in bars looking for somebody your age. But the chances of success went down then. After a while, you got too many strikes against you.
You know, I find your story such a really interesting mix of kind of macho and sensitive, in the sense that, you know, a lot of the stories about men, like hanging out in bars, drinking in bars, picking up women, looking for love. On the other hand, so many of the men in your stories are really lost and very needy.
Yeah.
They're misguided. They're misguided,
yeah,
and lost.
True.
So can you talk a little bit about that mix of, you know, like macho and lost and misguided?
Well, that's always hard for me to answer. I try to explain it, and I don't really know if I know the answer myself. I guess it's because the way I observe people, and while these characters are creations of my imagination, I know people like this. I know people who are lost in the world and who don't seem to have any, you know, proper place in it, and who have a hard time getting along in the world the way it is.
What got you started writing?
Well, to be honest, I thought when I started that it might be possible to make some money doing it. I had been a fireman for about 6 years, I guess. But mainly I had been a big reader all my life. Ever since I was a small child, I had loved to read. I didn't care anything about education. I just barely got out of high school. I failed English my senior year, as a matter of fact, and had to go to summer school to get my diploma. But I had been wondering about the process for a long time of how people learn to write. I knew that, you know, somebody sat down in a room somewhere with a typewriter and he started writing a novel. And he just made it out of nothing. I mean, there was nothing before he wrote the novel, and after he finished the novel, there was a book. And I wondered how people learned how to do that, and I wondered if I could learn how to do it. And so after I thought about it for a long time, I decided I would finally try it. I sat down and started writing a novel in 1980, you know, just about 10 years ago this month. And so I was under the impression that the novel would be published, you know, as soon as I finished it. And I mailed it off to a publishing house in New York, and of course it came right back. Nobody wanted it. And I sent it around enough times to realize that it was not going to be taken. And I said, well, I'll write another one. So I wrote another one. It wasn't taken either. And about that time, it began to dawn on me that there was an apprenticeship period that a writer had to go through, and nobody really knew how long it would take. But I just decided that I was going to stay with it for as long as it took, because I had started enjoying what I was doing tremendously, inventing all these characters and situations.
What were your early stories and novels like? What were they about?
Well, the first one I wrote was about a man-eating bear in Yellowstone National Park. It was a place I'd never been to. The second one was about some boys up in Tennessee who were going to plant a big patch of marijuana and sell it. And the third one, I can't remember that much about it, but I burned it. It was so bad. And the fourth one was about a boxer, told from the first person. And the fifth one was about a one-armed guy who was a woodcutter, and he accidentally killed a game warden and got in a whole bunch of trouble over it. And I wrote those, I guess, between 1980 and 1985, yeah. Covered a period of 5 years there, and it was 1986 before I started writing Dirty Work.
You know, your story about the man eating beer in Yellowstone National Park, there's a character in one of your short stories in the new collection who writes that story.
Yeah,
this is
yeah,
a character who's teaching himself how to write.
Yeah, I used that. I kind of stuck that in there on purpose. So that's basically the plot line of what my first novel was. But it was really poorly written, though. It's so bad that now I can't stand to look at it.
But you still have it.
I've still got it, yeah. I keep it as a reminder.
The first short story that you had published, I believe, was in Easy Riders magazine, which is a biker magazine.
That's right. That was in 1982.
Is that a magazine you used to read? I mean, how did you know about it?
Yeah, I used to read it, and I was trying to write in any kind of genre to get published. I was writing horror stories, supernatural stories, science fiction, murder stories, and biker stories, trying to sell something to Easy Riders. And after I sent them three or four stories, I had an idea for another one day, and I think I wrote it one sitting on a Saturday in my kitchen and sent it off to them, and they bought it. It was a really, really great day.
What was that one about?
It was about a guy getting in some trouble with the law down in Georgia, down in Bacon County, Georgia. And I tried them with some more stories later on, but they never did take anything else. But at that point, I thought I had broken through, you know, made my big break. But it was two more years then before I sold anything else.
Was there an editor who encouraged you early on?
Well, there were a lot of editors who started writing me letters about my stories around 1984 and 1985, but it wasn't until 1987 that I met the lady who is my editor now, Shannon Ravenel at Algonquin. She saw a short story that I published in the Mississippi Review in 1987, and she wrote me a letter, and I didn't know that a publishing company called Algonquin existed. But she wrote me this really nice letter and said she liked my story a whole lot. And she was senior editor at Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill. And she wanted to know if I had enough stories to make a book, to make a collection. And it was like, you know, it was just the greatest thing that had happened to me. And I wrote back. I said, yeah, I've got 100. How many would you like to see?
When you were a fireman, did you get any enjoyment out of the work? Was there anything that you liked about the job?
The best feeling about being a fireman is when you can stop a fire in somebody's home before it gets to the point that it damages all of their irreplaceable items, like pictures, you know, mementos, things like that. And the worst part is the deaths that you see. You know, that's always the worst thing, fire deaths.
Were you a good fireman? Did you think you were good at it?
I think I was. My only problem is that I'm fairly small physically. You know, I don't weigh but about 140 pounds, and often I worked alongside guys who weighed 200, 220 pounds. But mainly, I was a driver and a pump operator after I graduated up from being a nozzleman. Although, whenever we would have something, I would wind up in the house anyway most of the time. I finally made captain, and then I was, you know, I could oversee a whole operation then and sort of run the whole thing. So I was really involved in all the aspects of it.
All of your books so far have been published by Algonquin Books, which is a small press located in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. I think your work has been getting so much attention that you've probably gotten offers from larger publishing companies by now. Is that something that you would consider doing, or do you feel a certain loyalty to your editor and want to stay at that company as long as she's there?
Yeah, I'm happy where I am. Shannon has been really good to me. She brought me out of nothing. You know, I mean, I was writing, I was publishing a short story occasionally was all I was doing. And now my third book is out, and Algonquin has been really good to me, and I intend to stay with him.
Larry Brown's new collection of short stories, Big Bad Love, is published by Algonquin Books. This is Fresh Air.